Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We are located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're so glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is truly a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238 or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares the message titled, The Power of Kindness and Goodness, Be Kind.
To fill me up. Come on, Regina. Come on, team. Fill me.
Fill me up, God.
Lift those hands and say, fill me, Lord.
Fill me. Fill me. I want to be more like you. Hey, I want to be more like you. Hey, I want to be more like you. Hey, I want to be kind like you. Yeah, I want to show love like you. Yeah, I want to show love.
So now here we are, Lord, on this first day of another week. In fact, on the first Sunday of a brand new month. And we say thank you. Thank you for waking us up another day. Thank you for filling our cup. Whew. When we did not feel like going on, you gave us joy, unspeakable joy, and we say thank you. Now bless the word that shall come forth. We know that it will not return unto you void, but it shall do what it has been sent forth to do. This is our prayer. In your name we pray and give thanks. And all of those that love the Lord, help me say amen. Clap those hands, everybody. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to get right into the word. There's a word from God this morning. At the beginning of this year, we declared the year 2025 to be a year of spiritual empowerment. We shared with you a passage of scripture from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, in which Paul writes, and the Holy Spirit produces these kind of fruit in our lives. Paul said it produced love, joy, peace, patience. The next two are the two that we are going to deal with in the next four messages. Kindness and goodness. The series is entitled The Power of Kindness and the Power of Goodness. The Power of Kindness and Goodness. This is the first message in this series. Fruit 5 and 6. The Holy Spirit produces these kind of fruit in our lives. Listen to what the text reads. Amen. I said to the congregation this morning at 8, I know all the time we give you scripture references, and some we remember, some we don't quite always remember. But this one I want you to remember, amen. I want you to mark this verse down. Get your phone, take a picture of it. Because for the next several messages, I am going to speak to you as a pastor, someone who loves your soul, someone who wants you to grow spiritually. And I thank God for the spiritual outburst that we had early. It was so on time. That's why I said, let us praise God. We continue to praise God. But even sometimes after we have danced and shouted and praised God, sometimes we just need a word from God that challenges us, that sits in our soul, such as the case this morning. Hear the reading of God's word, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. May I read that verse again? Can I just read that again? Get rid of, somebody shout, all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, here's where the subject of today's message is. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven us. And we ask his blessings on the reading and the hearing of his word. For the next few moments in this series, The Power of Kindness and Goodness, we want to speak to you from two words embedded in verse 32. And the words are very simple. Look at somebody, and we're not touching or hugging. COVID is still around. I got the memo, y'all. Okay. I got it. We're just going to wave at folk. Amen. Wave at somebody these two words. Look at somebody and say, be kind. Now put your hands right here on your own self and say, be kind. Now clap those hands and take your seats. The power of kindness and goodness. Be kind. In this first message of our brand new series, we would like to talk in this first message about the power of kindness. Someone say kindness. The word kindness is defined as the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. Somebody say kindness. Now, perhaps one of the words that best describe kindness is the word nice. Look at somebody, and as the late Bishop Randolph Jackson used to say, it's nice to be nice. Amen. Nice. It doesn't cost you anything. I'm preaching hard already. To be nice. You have perhaps heard me say in times past that one of my favorite secular books, when I was in the business arena running a public relations firm, I would often read different books from other successful businesses. One of the books that I came across was a book written by two female public relation entrepreneurs from New York City. You've heard me reference this book before. The book was entitled The Power of Nice. And these two female entrepreneurs, Linda Kaplan and Robin Carvalho, in the book they suggested that being nice, contrary to popular belief, can have a huge advantage in one's personal and professional life. The New York Times did an interview with them and asked them, how are you able to succeed so fast? The answer was, we treat everybody nice. We love to be nice. In fact, one of their first major mega clients, Fortune 500 company, the CEO tells the story of having done an interview with several companies on Fifth Avenue. This company was the last. It was the smallest of all the companies. And the CEO left the interview impressed with these two young female entrepreneurs, but wondered if they had the capacity to handle his business. Were they large enough? Were they experienced enough? And in that same building were many other major companies that they had interviewed. But at the end of the process, Deacon Wesley Rogers, they go downstairs. On their way out, they decided to just ask the doorman, "What do you think of this company?" And the doorman lit up, smiled from ear to ear, and said, "They are the nicest people you would ever want to meet." The doorman said, "There are 10 other major companies in this building, and at least 9 of them walk by me and don't even speak. They don't even know I exist. When I lost my wife to a horrific accident, they never consoled me or could care less why I was out. But these two young ladies speak to me every day. When they order lunch for their staff, they order lunch for me. When they order coffee for themselves, they order coffee for me. And when I lost my family, they wept with me." Doorman said to the CEO, "I don't know what you're going to do or what you need, but if you need somebody nice, they are the ones." The CEO got back in the elevator, went upstairs, Deacon Samaria Watts, and looked these young ladies in the eyes and says, "I don't have to consider anything. You have the contract." And they asked him, "What changed your mind?" And they gave the name, and I can't remember the name of the doorman, but they gave his name, and it says, "This man was your greatest witness." And they say, "We never knew. We didn't do it because we wanted anything from him. We did it because it was the right thing to do." Be careful who you look down on. Can I preach? Be careful who you turn your nose up at. Be careful who you think you're better than. Because sometimes God has angels disguised as humans advocating on your behalf. Look at somebody and say, "Be nice, be kind." The authors of this book goes on to state that being nice fosters stronger relationships, leads to greater opportunities. It helps bring greater success. The book goes on and challenges the notion that in order to be successful in this world, it's a dog-eat-dog world. It challenges the notion that you always have to be aggressive and ruthless. They challenge the notion that that is the best path to success if you're aggressive and ruthless. It argues that being nice doesn't mean that you're soft, doesn't mean that you're weak. It means that you are strategic. Can I add my own 2 cents? Smart people are nice. Dumb people act mean, okay? And nasty. Amen. Now, I don't know where the old folk got their philosophical degrees from, but the old folk used to say you can catch more flies with honey than, oh, some of y'all grew up dead in the country. Okay. It is strategic, and it understands that building relationships based on trust and cooperation can be very beneficial. From a spiritual perspective, kindness is very significant to our spiritual growth. It is a reflection of God's character living in us. Listen, I would rather people say about this church that we are kind than anything else. I don't care if they talk about if I can preach or not. Some folk don't even think I know how to preach. And that's fine. I'm not preaching to impress them anyhow. Some folk don't think that you are anything other than a cult. But that's their own business. But one thing you can be more than anything else, and that's kind and nice. Amen. Listen, we were at a new members dinner a couple months ago. I invited some friends of mine, Brother Robert from the gym, to come and join us. They're not members of Bible Way. They just came and joined us. I said, brothers, won't you come? They said that afterwards, I went back to the gym, and they were waiting on me. One of the gentlemen, I couldn't even work out. He's all in my ear. Oh, man, the food was good. But I tell you what, your people are so nice. This gentleman said he went to other churches and folk didn't even speak to him. He said he walked through the door and the ushers wouldn't speak to him, okay? He says, but when I sat down at your Family Life Center, people treated me so kindly. And here's what he said. He says, Dara, I don't know anything about your church, but I know this. The people I met that day certainly act like Jesus would want people to act like. I was a proud pastor. I had my chest all stuck out. I was proud. I said, thank God you allowed them to meet the right people. I'm so glad for the Holy Ghost that God sent them to the right people, Pastor Lawson, because some of y'all some of y'all, somebody say, help him, Pastor, help him. Listen, be kind is not a slogan. It is a spiritual mandate. When we choose kindness over bitterness, when we choose compassion over rudeness, when we choose forgiveness over revenge, we become living testimonies of the gospel. If you're walking around in your life with a bitter heart and a revengeful spirit, if your goal is to get back at folk who got you, you better dig two graves. Because every grave you dig for somebody else, you're digging one for yourself. Amen, somebody. The type of kindness that we are speaking of is not just the result of a proper upbringing. It's not just because they were raised right. Now, it does help to be raised right. It's not just a result of somebody saying, I have a good heart. But this kind of kindness that we are speaking of is Holy Spirit driven. It is a fruit of the Spirit. In other words, you need the Holy Ghost in your life. You need the Holy Spirit in your life to have this fruit of the Spirit. I don't care how many workshops you go to, but you've got to get right with God. You've got to walk with God. You've got to be right with God. You have to have a right, because you can't treat others right when you ain't right with God. The song used to say, get right with God and do it now. How many of you know that before you can get right with me, you've got to get right with God? And I tell folk that don't like me, you don't like God. Because if you love God, you got to love me. Woo, and if you love God, I don't care what you think I may have done, you've got to love me. Anybody know that I love the Lord with all my heart? And when you're right with God, you can get it right with other people. Am I preaching to anyone here this morning? Wave at somebody and say, get right, get right. Get right with God. I'm going to help you, young adults. I'm going to help you, young people. I want to help you. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be super aggressive. You don't have to step on other people to get to where you want to be. If God be for you, who can be against you? Promotions do not come from the east or the west, but they come from the all I need is a handful of folk that know that it was God that helped you get to where you are now, and you are grateful about it, and you don't mind standing up, clapping your hands, giving God a praise, declaring, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side. Thank you, Lord. I don't have time to be mad at you. Life is too short. Life is too short. I don't want to close my eyes and transition to the other side mad at anybody. Like, you ain't, excuse the English, but you are not that important that I ought to be worried about what you think about me. How many of you know that because God is on your side, everything is going to work out? In fact, somebody help me declare it and decree it and say it is already worked out. Look at somebody and say it's already done. You don't need anybody else to get your next blessing. If God decides to bless you, then it's already done. In fact, it has already. Somebody ought to help me praise God for what God has already done. It's done, it's done, it's done. Somebody shout, it's done. It's done. Tell your neighbor, it's done. In this incredible text, do we have time to preach this? In this incredible text, let us explore what is said concerning kindness as a fruit of the Spirit. This text was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus around AD 60 and 62. Why is that important? Because it was a critical time during the history of the New Testament church. It was during the time of Nero, the emperor of Rome. Nero was chopping people's heads off. He was putting people in arenas with wild animals devouring their bodies. So in order to remain faithful to the Lord during this time, it took more than I've got a feeling. You have to have been committed. Church in Ephesus was committed. The church was known for many of its good works as well as its perseverance in the midst of hostile and a wicked culture. They stood firm in the midst of trials and tribulation. However, like any church, like any individual, no one is perfect. We all have our challenges. This church had its challenges. In fact, in the book of Revelation, chapter number 2, in which Jesus speaks through the Apostle John on the island of Patmos, and he challenges the 7 churches of Asia Minor, this was one of the churches. And Jesus, in that text in Revelation chapter 2, he rebukes this church for leaving their first love. Here is the problem. They were successful and it went to their heads. They were doing well and they could not stand to be blessed. There are some folk all right as long as you're broke. As long as there aren't anything that's going well in your life. But the moment God turns things around and you get successful and God blesses you to live in houses you did not build, or give you jobs you never thought you would have, or God places you in situations you never thought you would be, we sometimes seem to get a little bougie and uppity on God. And we forget that it was God on our side. When you were broke, busted, and disgusted, you didn't care who watched you praise God. If folk got mad at you because you praised God, that was their business. But when God blessed you and you drove up in here with something and wore something and you thought you were somebody, you got a cute praise on God. And John reminds this church in chapter 2 of the book of Revelation that God says you left your first love. And you've got to repent and go back to the time in which you were devoted and committed to God. Who am I preaching to? I just need somebody in here to remind somebody else that I still love the Lord. That as blessed as I am, I love the Lord. In fact, I've made an agreement with God. The more you bless me, the more I'll praise you. Lord, I'll never get too cute, too big, too important to praise God. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me. Anyone know how to give God a praise for all of your many blessings? Look at somebody and say, you owe God your best praise. Somebody in here right now, or in fact, you would not be here if God had not been on you. Don't get too important to praise God. Don't get too up there to praise God. Every title you have, God gave it to you. Every key to every door you open, God gave it to you. Somebody ought to take the next 30 seconds and act as if you don't care who is around you and open your... So although you've done some good things, don't lose and leave your first love. Woo! Can I preach to somebody? Tell your neighbor, don't get too caught up in where God has taken you that you forget it was God. Woo! It was God. Everything I owned, God made it possible. Every house I ever lived in, God made it possible. Every vehicle I am blessed enough to drive. I don't care if I roll up here in a BMW or a bicycle, God made it possible. So look at your neighbor and say, don't you confuse my stuff from my praise. I know how to have stuff and still know how to praise God. For I am one blessed somebody. Everybody, y'all excuse me, allow me to deviate for a moment. Everybody that God brought through many dangers, toils, and snares, God brought you from the other side of the track. God made a way out of no way. You got to praise God. You owe God one good hand clap. You owe God one good, throw your head back and say, but God. Don't leave your first love. Whew. Don't forget about God. In our text, all of this is related. Because some folk think they're too important to be kind. Some folk, they think they got too much going on to be nice to everybody. You don't impress me by how nice you are to me. Impress me by how you speak to the person who cleaned that bathroom for you. How you treat that person that swept that floor for you. How you treat folk that you think are important does not impress anybody. But you've got to learn how to be nice and kind to everybody. Look at the text. Paul urges this Christian community, first century Christian community, to live a life rooted in kindness. However, before they could do this, they must reject their destructive behaviors. May I preach this? They were told in verse 31, look at the text. Verse 31, as we put it on the board here in the cutout, I need you to go with us. It says, get rid of all bitterness. Now, let me just drop down and I'll come back to that. Get rid of implies an intentional act. God did not say, I will get rid of for you. Some things in your life you've got to get rid of for yourself. If you're waiting on God to show up to help you be nice, you've got to be nice because you want to be nice. You've got to get rid of bitterness because you want it out of your life. Look at what the text says. The text says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Be careful what you say. The words out of your mouth define who you are. That's why the scripture says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You got to speak like God will want you to talk. You got to act like God wants you to talk. You don't talk one way in church, then you get around the bars and the girls, and you're another way. Get rid of rage. Get rid of anger. Some of you are still mad. Some of you have been mad so long you forgot what you're mad about. Literally. Somebody literally had the nerve to approach me and say, Pastor, pray for me with a family member. We haven't spoken in 5 to 10 years, and we were so mad. I say, what was it about? I can't even remember what it was about. I wanted to say, get out of my face and go fall on your knees and say, Father, you got to help me. You've been angry so long that you don't even know what you're angry about. Get rid of that. Get rid of these harsh words, slander, and all kinds of evil behavior. These destructive behaviors are rooted in pride. They're rooted in hurt. They're rooted in unresolved personal issues in our life. Some of us got some unresolved. Yeah, you dress good, you look good, you smell good, but deep down inside, you got some unresolved personal issues in your life. They must not be a part of who we are if we're going to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Paul says we must get rid of these things in our lives. Paul wanted them to know that these types of behaviors are detrimental to their spiritual well-being. They tear us down and do not build us up. They cannot be a part of our lives. And in order to get rid of these things, you need the Holy Spirit working in us. Is there anybody know that God, before you change anybody else, change me? Somebody lift those hands and say, it's me, oh Lord. Lord, before I can get right with my family, I've got to get right with you. Lord, I've got to have a right vertical relationship before any of the horizontal relationships matter. I've got to get right with you. Paul goes on to write in verse 32 these words. Let us read these words and then we'll share 3 key insights as we prepare to end this message. Paul writes, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. I want to share these 3 important key insights out of this text that I need you to carry with us as you go to live your life the rest of this week, rest of this month, the rest of this year, and the rest of your life. Number one is this: kindness is a command, not a suggestion. Look at your neighbor and say, this is not a suggestion, but be kind. It's a commandment from God. God doesn't suggest you be kind. God demands that you be kind. If you are going to be a child of God, it is not optional in your life. You don't have the option to act nice some days, to be kind sometime. One of the things that confuse people so much is some folk are so flippant in there. They don't know how to approach you. Some days they approach you and you're so kind and nice, and next day they approach you and you act as if that they've done something horrible to you. Kindness is a command. Look at your neighbor and say, be kind every day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it every day. Wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be nice. Folk will get on your nerve. When you go to work, someone will test your faith. But if you got to go in the bathroom and hold your mule and give God a praise and say, Lord, you've got to help me deal with these demons. And when you go back out, the Holy Ghost is all over you. Won't he do it? Woo. It is a commandment and not a suggestion. It must be lived out. Kindness must be lived out in our lives, in our words, in our tone. Woo. I wish I had time to preach this. Elder TJ, I wish I had time to tell people about the tone they put out. Some of you don't even have to say a word. You just, Y'all know how you, y'all, some of y'all got the nastiest disposition that anybody wanted to say. Well, Pastor, I didn't say anything. I know you didn't. You spoke with your tone and your disposition. You ought to walk right. You ought to act right. Yeah, people will get on your nerve and make you angry, but that's all right. You're representing the kingdom of God. Here's what I would rather them say about me when it's all said and done, Deacon Clarence Smith. I don't care if they let you know that I've been in the General Assembly for 33 years. Doesn't matter how long I've been pastoring. It doesn't matter all the degrees are on my wall. I just want somebody to say, he treated me right. It must not be based. Kindness must not be based on how others have treated us, but on how God has treated us. May I ask you a question that I think I know I already know the answer. Has God been good to you? May I ask you a question? Has God treated you right? Has God's mercy ever been bestowed upon you when you did not deserve it? Ooh, may I ask you a question? Who woke you up this morning? Started you on your way? Who put food on your table? Clothes on your back? May I ask you a question? Has God been good to you? Is God not good all the time? And all the time God is? Come on, Zion. Come on, church. Praise the Lord. All of you that know that God's been good to me. God's been great to me. Made a way out of nowhere. Oh, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I. It is not an option. It is not a suggestion. It is a commandment. Don't you leave here today and the pastor says, I ought to try to be kind. No, I said you better and ought to be kind. I didn't say try anything. I said do it. Amen. I'm not suggesting you treat people right. I'm commanding from God that you have a mandate from God to treat people right. There's no excuse for nastiness. Ooh, who am I preaching to? There's no excuse for your rudeness. I don't care how bad your head hurts. I don't care what you've been through. A bad day is no excuse for a bad attitude. May I say that again? Look at your neighbor and say, a bad day is no excuse for a bad attitude. In fact, you can't always control what unfolds during your day, but you can control your attitude during that day. Look at somebody and say, be kind. Second key insight, and I'm almost done, is that kindness must include forgiveness. It's hard to be kind when your heart is full of anger and when you're holding grudges. We must learn, here are the two words. We must learn, here are the two words. Look at somebody and say, here it comes. We must learn to let go. Tell somebody, let it go. Encourage somebody, let it go. We must learn to let go. We must learn to turn loose bitterness, hurt, and anger. If we forgive others, God will forgive us. And here's the last point, the point I want to make in this. We forgive others not because they deserve it. We forgive others because Christ forgave us. There's some people in my life that never asked me to forgive them. In fact, the truth of the matter is they even don't deserve it now. There's some people in my life that are still hurting me today, intentionally. But what they do not know is that I've already forgiven them. I've already, because it's not about what they did against me. It is about my relationship with God. When I go to bed at night, I want to sleep tight. I want to sleep good. I do not want to toss and turn, worried about what other people have done to me. Forgive. Look at somebody and say, forgive. Because you've been forgiven. Forgive. Because God has forgiven you. And here's the third and the final insight as you stand upon your feet. Kindness is a tool for evangelism. You win more people to Christ by how you live than what you say. Don't walk around with the big cross around your neck if you don't have the decency to treat everybody right. Do not quote scriptures to people that you don't have the decency to respect who they are, no matter what they may have done. No matter their lifestyle choices, we've got to love them. No matter if they do things that you disagree with, we still got to love them. We've got to, if we're witness to people, we've got to love them. And if you want to draw them to Christ, show them love. Don't speak words of evangelism. Show them the love that is evangelism. When people see, listen to this, when people see how we treat those who have mistreated and hurt us, it points them towards the God that lives in us. Evangelism is not just what you say. It is a lot more than what we say. It is what we do. It is how we treat others. So on this first Sunday in September, the message from God to you is real simple. Two words with an exclamation mark. Be kind. Look at somebody and say, be kind. Tell them your blessings are on the way. Be kind. God will turn your situation around. Be kind. God has been good to you, because the truth is, we need each other to survive. Am I right about it? The altar is now open. Hear the words of a song written by a dear friend of ours, Hezekiah Walker, raised in a Bible Way church in Brooklyn, New York. Good friend of Atlas Road, good friend of Pastor Mac, good friend of this church. Bishop Hezekiah Walker wrote these words: I need you, you need me. We all are part of God's body. Maybe there's somebody here today that got some things you want to just deposit at this altar. Come on. You ought not ever worry about what other folks think about you when you walk down the aisle and stand at the altar. Stand with me. Agree with me. We all are a part of God's body. It is His will that every need is supplied. Look at somebody and say, you are important to me. I need you to survive. I'll pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I hope you love me. I need you. I need you to survive. The power of kindness and goodness. Whew. If you're going to be all that God wants you to be, it starts with how you treat others. Ooh. If you're going to be a child of God, it starts with how you treat others. And if you're kind to others, God will continue to be kind. Folk have hurt you. Folk have let you down. But I refuse to live with anger. I refuse to live with revenge. I'm leaving it at the altar right now. Somebody meet me at this altar and say, Lord, I need to leave it at the altar. Come on, team. Tell them right now. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. Come, come. It's time to leave it at the altar. It's time to leave it at the altar. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are. That's right. Come on. Others are coming. Those of you that are joining us virtually, touch and agree. Those of you that are listening on the radio right now, touch and agree. Touch and agree right now. Wherever you are right now, come on.
It is His will.
It is His will.
listen. Throughout this series, God is going to challenge all of us to look at who we are and examine the kind of person we are. This is just you and God. I need you to look in the mirror at you and ask yourself, am I a good person? Am I a kind person? Ooh, you may not be the best teacher, the best lawyer, the best doctor, the best preacher, the best bus driver, the best plumber, the best anything, but you can always be kind. Ooh. Because it is commanded by God. And I am convinced, I'm convinced that perhaps your next blessing, that God will reward you. The third message in this series, I can't wait to get to the third Sunday. It's about a woman by the name of Ruth. And in that passage, they said to Ruth, God has rewarded your kindness and your faithfulness. Don't you think that God is not taking note? God does not know what you're doing and how well you've treated others. Listen to the reading of the word for the last time and we'll pray. Now here's what I want to ask you. Are you right with God? You can never get this kind of relationship with others right until you get this kind of relationship with God. Before you leave here today, I wouldn't leave that altar until I know this is right. I know this is right. If you're looking for a church home, if you're looking for somewhere for you and your family to fellowship and be strengthened by the bonds of others, we invite you to consider us. Listen, I want to say for the record, while I was still on the radio, we would never claim to be the only and the best church. We would never claim that this is the only place you ought to be, but you ought to be somewhere. And if not here, then you ought to be somewhere where God is. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, and harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Verse 32, instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Let us pray. After this prayer, to those of you who want to make that commitment to God, there's a QR, there's a code that's on the screen. If you don't want to stand at the altar, you can just get your phones, hit the code, and somebody will be in touch with you. And listen, I'm challenging you. If our staff doesn't get back in touch with you all, y'all get in touch with me, okay? Okay, because there's nothing more important to us than someone who's trying to reach God. And I know they do. We have a wonderful staff, okay, of volunteers and others. But it's so important. Amen. Amen. Close those eyes right now. Every eye closed. Because I want to do something. Every eye closed. Is there anybody in here right now that just want to get it right with God? You're ready for a brand new life. You want to commit your life to the Lord. You raise your hand high. Every eye is closed. Nobody's watching you at this altar. Anyone here want to make that commitment? Thank you, young lady over there. The ministers are watching. Anybody? Thank you, young man. He's in the back. Preachers, you see him. Go to him. Y'all see who they are. Raise those hands high. Anybody else? I need you. Come on. Anyone else? Raise those hands. If you're at the altar and you want to make that commitment. And if you raise those hands, then I just want you, don't leave this altar. Eternal Father, we thank you. God, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, for reminding us that we have a commandment, we have a mandate from you.
You've been listening to the worship service of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off Interstate 77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services here on the radio. We are also streaming live on our website at bwcar.org, on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, and on YouTube. Our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you missed any of our services, or if you just want to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for a CD or DVD of today's sermon titled The Power of Kindness and Goodness, Be Kind, please call us at 803-776-1238. Reference sermon number 080725. Again, that telephone number is 803-776-1238. Sermon number 080725. September is Young Adult Month at Bible Way. Tuesday, September 16th at 7 p.m., join the Young Adult Ministry for midweek service in the sanctuary with special guest, Elder Yanita Simmons Sherman. The Young Adult Ministry presents a night of worship Friday, September 19th at 7 p.m. in the Youth Development Center. Make plans to join us for this free concert featuring local young adult gospel choirs from throughout the city. All are welcome to attend. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by clicking the link on our website at bwcar.org, or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to the number 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please do not mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. We thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.